This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Friday, April 25th. I'm Tom Rogers. Coming up, we'll have the last in our three-part series on the water beneath us in central Illinois. We'll also get a forecast for the weekend, which coincidentally enough also has water in it, from AM 580 forecaster Mike Sola. First, to look at today's news. Champaign County's treasurer has made a series of recommendations to the county board with hopes of keeping the county's financially strapped nursing home open and under local control. AM 580's Jeff Bossert reports.
Treasurer Dan Welsh says the reality of the nursing home's situation is that it will likely need a second loan from the county of $400,000 to $500,000 by June, which he says could hurt county day-to-day operations over the long term. But he's not ready to say that the facility would have to be sold or would bankrupt the county.
I wouldn't go that far yet because there are some ideas that the county board has come up with to try to make up some of this difference. And so I wouldn't want to prejudge any of those things. We'll see how that plays itself out. It looks dire, but things have changed, and we don't know how the economy is going to be 6 months from now.
Nursing home administrator Andrew Buffenbarger says there's nothing that could be done between now and June, but they're looking to cut some corners.
We're using a lot less contract agency staff, and the results have been very positive. We've adjusted our HVAC system so that the areas that aren't used at nights are now shut off. They're not heated and cooled, so there are a lot of little things that we're doing now to try and reduce that number.
In the meantime, Welsh says monthly financial reports on the nursing home will be sent to the county board's finance committee. The board has also appointed a nursing home board of directors. The seven-member panel includes two county board members, a physician, and the director of the nursing program at Parkland College. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.
Amidst worldwide protest over the crisis in Tibet, Chinese University of Illinois students are rallying to support their government in the summer Beijing Olympics. Yesterday, Chinese students gathered on the U of I quad with flags and a poster wall to present a positive image about the Olympics in China. The co-organizer of the event, John Qing, says politics and the Olympics shouldn't be mixed up.
Well, we can talk about Tibet at the appropriate time, but I think Chinese people want the whole world to enjoy the game first. So I think this just to emphasize our feeling about Olympic Games. And also, if people interested in, we also want to tell the other side of the story about Tibet, if people really want to know something about that.
To that end, the students were handing out CDs and pamphlets entitled Tibet Myth and Reality. Qing says although China has problems with human rights, he believes it's come a long way. And he says a lot has changed in China in the last 40 years, and the process will continue. State Supreme Court justices have ordered a Champaign man convicted of rape back into custody just one day after he was freed on parole. Vincent Lipscomb was released Wednesday after a Champaign County judge dismissed a petition to declare him a sexually violent person and keep him behind bars. But yesterday, justices said the 38-year-old will remain in custody while the state appeals that decision. Lipscomb was convicted back in 1990 of raping a University of Illinois student, and he was sentenced to 24 years in prison. He was due to be paroled in 2004, but Attorney General Lisa Madigan moved to have him declared sexually violent. That would mean the state considers him mentally ill and likely to attack again, and could lock him away until he's cured. Chicago school officials say because the state has not contributed enough money to its retirement system, millions of dollars are being diverted from classrooms to pay for pensions. So last month, the Chicago Board of Education sued. Chicago public schools teachers have their own pension system. All other public school teachers' pensions are managed and provided by the Teachers Retirement System, or TRS. TRS spokeswoman Eva Golterman says there's a good reason the state has different methods for Chicago and for downstate teachers' pensions.
The Chicago public school system is large. It can oversee its system and fund its own teacher pension system, while the other districts in the state are much smaller. They require a centralized and mandatory state funding mechanism to do so.
Golderman also says Chicago schools have more liberty in how they can use tax money. TRS is asking a Cook County Circuit Court to throw out Chicago schools' lawsuit against it. The suit charges that having different funding methods is unequal and therefore unconstitutional. The state's first-ever public access counselor is leaving Illinois. As Amanda Vinicky reports, she'll soon be working to improve access to government elsewhere.
As Illinois' public access counselor, Terry Mutchler's been responsible for helping people get documents when state agencies or local governments have tried to keep them hidden. She's charged with helping people find a remedy when city councils or other public bodies wrongly try to meet in secret. And now Mutchler's been selected to head up a similar effort in her home state of Pennsylvania, which has a new open records law. Unlike Illinois, Pennsylvania will fine governments that break it. Mutchler says even though she's leaving Illinois, she expects the Attorney General will follow through with her promise and rewrite Illinois' Open Records Act.
We need to take a look at the exceptions in the law. If you look at the federal law, there's 9 exceptions. If you look at Illinois law, there's 66 times when a public body can withhold information.
Mutchler says that the number one complaint Illinois residents have is not that governments are denying them access to documents, but that governments are trying to charge individuals up to $100 a page to copy them. I'm Amanda Vinicky.
For the latest newscast online, go to will.illinois.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Tom Rogers. Dry desert states like Arizona and Nevada have always known that water is limited, but the Midwest is known as a wet region. Even so, experts say communities here in central Illinois must make efforts to protect and conserve water. In the final report of our series on water in central Illinois, Illinois Public Radio's Amanda Vinicky explores the future.
This is the sound of water rushing through giant metal pumps. Few people ever see this equipment, but it plays a vital role in the lives of nearly every person in Springfield and several surrounding communities. These pumps are part of an intricate network responsible for bringing millions of gallons of water every day to residents of these towns. And it costs the average Springfield resident only $16 a month.
And if you think about that monthly charge in comparison to every other thing you buy in the way of milk and gasoline and cable television, and think of the value and the need and the necessity of water, you know, it's really a bargain for what you get.
That's Tom Skelly, Water Division Manager of Springfield's City Water, Light and Power, the municipal water utility, who says that many people underestimate that value. But a fear that's been floating around for nearly half a century, since Central Illinois' last major drought, is if Springfield has enough water. As water laps along the shores of Lake Springfield, it seems like there's little reason to worry. But should there be a severe drought, scientists say parts of the lake could dry up, meaning there won't be enough water to go around. Some experts say the solution lies in an area near Rochester. A project dubbed Hunter Lake has been talked about for decades. So far, it's yet to become a reality. Other experts say it never should. They say an alternative, such as using a well to bring water up from an existing aquifer, is the better option. Springfield's not alone with that quandary. The city of Decatur has also grappled with the prospect of making another lake as a backup to Lake Decatur. In both cities, there are a flood of questions, ranging from expense, erosion, and ecological concerns. Part of the problem in his city, Decatur Mayor Paul Osborne admits, is that the issue's caught up in politics.
It's tough to sell this because if an election's coming up or something, people say, water? Why do you want to build a new lake? We have a lake. We don't need it. And since I've been here for 30 years, that lake's never been dry.
Illinois Water Survey hydrologist Vern Knapp stresses the issue isn't whether there's enough now. The issue is if there will be enough in a drought. Knapp says scientists can't predict when a truly catastrophic drought, the likes of which come around about once every century, will occur.
So I'm not trying to suggest that this is a doomsday situation, but certainly if your reservoir runs dry, you know, and you don't have a readily available source, the question is, yes, what are you going to do?
And if there were to be such a crisis, Mark Miller says Illinois may not be equipped to handle it. Miller is a policy advisor for Illinois' lieutenant governor, and he used to work with Illinois' Prairie Rivers Network. Miller says Illinois' long-held take on water presumes there's enough to go around.
Illinois is the wild, wild west of water quantity legislation. And so let me put it this way for you. When we get to the point where our population and our water demand grows to the point where we overstrip the available capacity of water. Mm-hmm. There is little currently in Illinois that would help us allocate out those resources. So in effect, it is the wild, wild west. You know, we don't have a way to deal with water shortages.
Miller predicts in the future, Illinois will shift its policies. Two pieces of legislation before the General Assembly would begin that shift. One would require the largest users of water to report how much they withdraw. The other proposal would restrict the use of phosphorus, a lawn fertilizer that eventually seeps into rivers and streams. For now, environmental monitoring is focused primarily on big industry and the most major polluters. The Environmental Protection Agency pays little notice to homeowners fertilizing their gardens, individuals who dump old medications down the drain, or drivers whose cars leak oil. All of these contaminants wind up in water supplies. The EPA's Water Bureau Chief, Marsha Wilhite, says the state may one day choose to monitor these individuals and set restrictions.
But I think that there are other considerations as society ponders what the best approach is, you know, other things that need to be, interests that need to be balanced.
One option, to entice farmers, companies, and just about everyone else to voluntarily conserve. The incentive? Saving money on water bills. Average homeowners can do this, for instance, by collecting rainwater in barrels or by planting rain gardens, which are specially designed to catch runoff. Some cities, like Rock Island, actually pay residents for planting these gardens. Springfield attorney Donald Hanrahan, a vocal critic of Springfield's proposed Hunter Lake, has another suggestion. He says more cities need to implement a technique known as conservation pricing.
You don't tell people they can't do this and they can't do that. You just make them pay for it.
So, average users pay a very low rate. Anyone who uses water in what's deemed to be excess will pay a much higher rate for that water. Hanrahan says it's been proven to work in other cities, and he expects it would cut down on the demand for water in Springfield, too. Springfield's new rate structure would implement this to some degree, but Hanrahan says it's not drastic enough to make a difference. While individual cities sort out their particular water issues, a state task force formed in 2006 is also studying the matter. The East Central Illinois Water Planning Committee covers a 15-county region, including Sangamon, Macon, Vermilion, and Tazewell. Teresa Landaway is a scientist with Whitman Hydro Planning Associates, an Indiana firm hired to perform an analysis of Central Illinois' water situation.
We're looking at how much water does the region need now and in the future. We're looking out to the year 2050. And then that data will be analyzed to look at the supply to say, okay, if this is how much we need, does our supply match that? Do we have enough to accommodate for our growth and change in water use?
Landaway says part of the research involves projecting how water supplies will be affected by climate change. The firm's also considering the impact of potential new water users, such as water-guzzling ethanol plants, dozens of which have been slated to be built in central Illinois. Chief of the Illinois State Water Survey, Derek Winstanley, says as political trends shift, some of these may never be built. But if they do, they'll use up a lot of water. Winstanley says whether ethanol plants or anything else is a good use of water all comes down to priorities.
It's a social issue. We can quantify what the impacts will be. It's up to other people to manage the resources and decide what's acceptable, what's not acceptable.
And in the end, part of it's nobody's choice at all. It's out of anyone's control but Mother Nature. Back at the CWLP water treatment plant in Springfield, Water Division Manager Tom Skelly reads the inscription above the building's main entrance.
Saying up here, the monument to the ability of the people to serve themselves and build for prosperity. How true that is when it comes to drinking water in our community, because you otherwise take it for granted.
Most people do take it for granted until there's too much or not enough of it. I'm Amanda Vinicky.
We may have a good deal of rain, then a cool down for the weekend. Our forecaster, Mike Zola, says a mix of clouds and sun are in the forecast for Illinois and Indiana today. Windy and still warm with scattered showers and thunderstorms. Some could be strong to severe, mainly this afternoon. The highs between 70 in northwest Illinois and 83 in the far south. 78 are high in Champaign-Urbana today, with south winds 20 to 30 miles an hour and gusty. Tonight, mostly cloudy with showers and thunderstorms spreading from west to east across the two states. Lows from 38 in northwest Illinois to 56 in southeast Indiana. In Champaign-Urbana, our low tonight getting down to 45 degrees, only up to 60 tomorrow, with a few lingering showers during the morning in eastern Indiana, otherwise partly to mostly sunny and cooler across the area. Highs from only 52 in northwest Illinois to 70 in southern Indiana. The Champaign-Urbana forecast for Sunday, mostly cloudy and a few showers are likely to pop up again, especially late in the day, and a high of 58 degrees. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Friday, April 25th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, The Afternoon Magazine, Agricultural Programming, and other helpful information on our website, will.illinois.edu. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.